Erev Shabbos, Parshas Vayigash, Tavshin Samach Zayin. In a sense, Parshas Vayigash could be looked at as the culmination of Parshas Vayigash, Vayeshev, Miketz, and then Vayigash. Because it's the end of the story of we'll call it the feud between Yosef and his brothers. And a theme that has been working throughout Parshas Vayeshev and then Miketz and now finally Vayigash, when everything comes out in the open and Yosef reveals himself, and many things which were not understood until this point are understood. And as well, it's for that point is also for the Maisa of a similar Banim, that what happened then happens and repeats itself in history to Klal Yisrael. And really, in the first three words of the Parsha, it's looked at on a very deeper scale than just the psukim itself. It could be understood something very fascinating that the Torah and Chazal describe in terms of these two brothers of Yehuda and Yosef. Vayigash elav Yehuda. Yehuda approached him, who approached Yosef. This is now, they're at the breaking point, where Yosef has already tormented them again and again, and now he tells them they have to bring back Binyamin, and Yehuda finally comes up to at the showdown with Yosef. But the Balaturim points out, Vayigash elav Yehuda, he says the end letters, Shin Vav Hey, of the words Vayigash elav Yehuda, Seife Teves are Shove, equal. Sha'omar Allah, he said to Yosef, Ani Shove Lecha, I'm equal to you. Until now he was playing it down. Until now Yehuda, they were always subservient to Yosef. Yosef was the king, Yosef was the vice of Parai, and they were always the guests in Mitzrayim. Now he says, Ani Shove Lecha, I'm equal to you. Shekemoi Sha'ata Melech, Gam Ani Melech. Just like you're a king, I'm also a king. And this idea, just to get a better understanding and to really appreciate how deep the Torah goes and how deep the Chazal understood this machlokes between Yosef and his brothers, and why there has to be this machlokes and why there has to be this feud, to learn a few things about Yehuda and Yosef. A lot of the things, starting in Vayeshev and Miketz, a lot of things were misunderstandings. They were misunderstandings when Yosef expressed the dreams to his brothers the first time. They said to him, Amalek Timlei Chaleinu, Hamashal Timshal Banu, you think you're going to rule over us? You think you're going to be a king over us? They felt, and that's the way it's understood by many, that they felt that he was married by Malchus. They thought he's trying to usurp the kingdom, and they knew who's the king of Bnei Yisrael, who's the king of the Shvatim. It's Yehuda. It's Yehuda, it's Davra Melech, it's Mashiach. And here Yosef, all of a sudden, who is a Bechor, yes, he's a Bechor of Rachel, of one of the matriarchs. But on the other hand, they knew Baruch HaKadosh, and Yehuda has to be the king. So they saw it as a married Malchus. They saw it as someone trying to take over the kingdom. And indeed, we know, from knowing the whole story, and of course having hindsight into what happened, we know Yosef was not trying to do that, but he was trying to show them that within the kingdom of Yehuda, there also has to be a kingdom of Yosef. And this idea, which is expressed by Reb Shimshon Pinkus Atzal in his Sefer on Chanukah, and as well an idea that the Argud Ayo brings, could be explained these two shittas, these two tracks of Yehuda and Yosef in the following way. The fascinating nevuah in Yechezkel, in Perek Lamed Zayin, starting at Pasuk Tesvav. Vahi dvar Hashem elai lemar. Yechezkel says that I had a nevuah. Va'ata ben Adam, you, Yechezkel, kach lecha eitz echad. Take a piece of wood, uchseiv alav liYehuda v'lvenei Yisrael chaverif, and write on it, this is for Yehuda and his comrades. Ulekach eitz echad, and take a second piece of wood. Uksayv alav, and write on that, LeYosef eitz Ephraim, Yosef and Ephraim, v'chol beis Yisrael chaveirav, and his comrades. V'korav oisam echad al echad, l'cha, le'eitz echad, and put these two pieces of wood, which you wrote specifically, one is Yehuda and one is Yosef, take the two pieces of wood, and in front of everybody, in front of Klal Yisrael, put them together as one, v'hoyu la'achodnim biyodecha, and as you put them together, and when you bring them close to each other, they're going to join into one piece of wood. Miraculously, the Mefarshim explained, a miracle will take place, when Yecheskel will put the two pieces of wood together, they'll join into one. V'hoyu la'achodnim biyodecha, and they'll be one in your hands. When the people sing this, they're going to say, Yecheskel, please tell us what this is all about. Why did this miracle happen? That the two pieces of wood formed into one. They joined into one. Dabar aleim, tell them. This is the nevuah that Hashem wants to tell. That Hashem says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the piece of wood of Yehuda and the piece of wood of Yosef, and I'm going to join them together. The indication of this is the Pesukim continue that Koyamar Hashem Lekim, Hine Ani Lekech Es Bnei Yisrael Mibein Hagoyim Asher Holchu Sham. The Nevuah is trying to depict for Klal Yisrael that what will happen in the end of days, that Hashem will gather up all of Bnei Yisrael, which are now scattered amongst the Goyim. V'kibasti oisim yisovar, I will gather them from all around. V'hevesi oisim aladmosim, and I will bring them to Eretz Yisrael. And there, v'asisi oisim l'goy echad ba'aretz b'hari Yisrael, I will bring them, and there will be one nation in the mountains of Eretz Yisrael. U'melech echad yiyah l'kulam l'melech, there will be only one king. V'lo yiyah oid l'shnei goyim, they will not be separated into two nations, and no longer will there be two separate kingdoms. No longer will there be a kingdom of Yisrael and Yehuda, of Ephraim and Yehuda. We're called in Chazal Ephraim, there's Bnei Yisrael, that's usually referred to as the Ten Shvatim, and we're also called Yehuda. No longer will there be two malachis. We won't be involved in Avodah Zarah. Avdi David Melech Aleim. And ultimately, when there will be one king, and when they will join into one piece of wood, Yehuda and Yosef, it will be one king, and that will be David HaMelech. V'roya echa l'kulam. And then, v'mishpota yelechu, v'kukoysa yishmru, v'osu oysam. The Nevuah goes for a few more psukim, but that's the idea. Very good, Len, very good. We'll understand why that has to be that as well. But it seems clear from the psukim over here, that in the end of days, there will be a joining of Yosef and Yehuda. But before that time, still in Galus, it had to be that way. That was the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu set it up already from the times of Yosef and Yehuda. And that's the way it happened as well when the kings of Bnei Yisrael started also. So in the meantime, as before this Nevuah, will be the Nevuah of Yecheskel will be fulfilled. In the meantime, in terms of the interim time of Golus, how do we understand the two approaches of Yosef and Yehuda? So there's a very interesting medrash in the beginning of the parasha, in the Vayigash, but it's coming to explain a pasuk in the end of Amos, the last few pesukim in Amos, which is in Perek Tes, which the pasuk says, "Hine yamim boim num Hashem," that behold, the days are coming, which means in the end of days. V'nigash choyresh b'koitzer, and the plowman will meet up with the koitzer, with the one who reaps the harvest. And usually, they're two separate times. You do plow at one time, and then several months later, that's when you harvest. And here they'll join up. V'derech hanavim, the one who tramples the grapes after they're already ripe, after they're ready to be picked. But Moshe Chazara, the one who's carrying the seed, and the one who planted the seeds in the first place. In other words, the Nevuah here simply meaning that in the end of days, things will be so bountiful that the one planting will meet up with the one already harvesting. And the one plowing will meet up with the one cutting the grain, all ready to be cut. That's the nevuah. But our Medrash understands it on a much deeper level. The Medrash says, Vayigash Elav Yehuda. What's this Vayigash? It's the same Vayigash, this coming close, this meeting, as the Vanigash in Amos. Hine yamim ba'am numa Hashem v'nigash chayresh ba'koytzer. Chayresh, who's the one who plows? Ze Yehuda. Ba'koytzer, the one who cuts, who's that? Ze Yosef. Shenema v'hine ma'al, anaknu ma'al malumim. Yosef was the one who gathered the, that was in his dream. He had the bundles, he gathered the bundles. V'derech hanovim, the one who tramples on the grapes, who is that? Ze Yehuda. As it says, ki darachti li Yehuda. The Moshe Chazara, the one who's planting, Zay Yosef, Shemoshe Chazare Shal Aviv, Aridu L'Mitzrayim, he brought the children of his father to Mitzrayim. Now, as the Medrash and the Chazal understood, that these Psukim are making reference here to Yosef and Yehuda as well. And they're calling Yehuda the Chayresh, they're calling Yehuda the one who plows, they're calling Yosef the one who cuts. As the Avnei Nezer explained it, that the idea of plowing, as we know from Hilcha Shabbos, is to soften up the ground, to make it prepared for a seed to go in, to be able to grow. That was Yehuda's job. Yehuda was the lave. Yehuda worked more with the lave. And as the emotion to make sure the lave is always geared towards doing Avedas Hashem. On the other hand, Yosef, who was Kaitzer, and Kaitzer, the Avnei Nezer explains, is you cut something off. You cut off from the produce, you cut off from the wheat what's good, and you take it with you. So to say, like, we have to cut off also our heads from the rest of our guf, from the rest of our bodies. And the head, the seichel, always has to be the one in control, be the one in the driving seat to do what we're supposed to, and not necessarily go after our emotions. And this was Yosef HaTzadik, and this was Yehuda. Yehuda, we know, the Gemara tells us that Yehuda is all the name of Hashem. There's Yudke Vavke with a Dalet. Meaning Yudke Vavke is Yehuda's, and the way Yehuda served HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world was that everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Yehuda, it's Yudke Vavke. With the Dalet in the middle to have a sense of Dal. Poor, I have nothing. Nothing is me, I do nothing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does everything. When a person has that sense, his lev is totally to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, understanding that I have nothing. His mother, when he was born, said, "Apam oydes Hashem, I thank Hashem for this. It was more than I deserve." That's how Yehuda went his whole life. It's more than I deserve. Everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in that way, he's able to come to his perfection in Avodas Hashem. Everything is done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can never do anything against HaKadosh Baruch Hu because everything I have is from him. The sense of Oida, the sense of admittance, the sense of conceding to Hashem, which is thanking Hashem through HaKadosh HaTayim, makes it that he can't do any Averis. He has to always submit himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yosef, on the other hand, had a different approach to his Avodas Hashem. And his approach was, we'll of course say it through the Seichel, but his approach was, I always have to be a tzaddik. I can never drop my guard. I can never be as great as I could be. I should never fall and not be as great as I could be. In other words, it's a different approach, not sort of the humble approach, but it's the gaiva approach. The gaiva, the kedusha, as the Sfarim say. And it's gaiva, it's a good sense of gaiva. And it's what stopped Yosef HaTzadik from sinning in Mitzrayim. Both Yehuda and Yosef, in the Chumash itself, they are paralleled by both having an asayan of an erva, both having a test, a challenge, temptation with a woman. And how did Yosef overcome it, his challenge? And how did Yehuda overcome his challenge? So the Gemara in Saita Lamed Vav Amud Beis says that when the Eishes Paitifar pressed and persisted and tried to tempt Yosef into sinning with her day after day, to the point where the Chazal tell us that Yosef HaTzadik almost sinned. And he came that day when no one was in the house, everyone was out on some holiday. He came into the house and the Gemara says that he was niskaven l'dvar avera. That was his intent. But when he finally came, when it came down to it, we know the famous Chazal, ba'isa shad thou moment, the Dyuknei Shel Aviv, the image of his father, was seen in the window. Doesn't have to be understood that he literally saw it, but in his mind's eye, he saw his father there. And what did his father tell him? He said, Yosef, Asidin Achicha Sheikhtuva Alavnei Eifed. In the end, all the 12 Shvatim are going to be written on the Cheshen, are going to be written on the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. Va'ata b'neihem, and you're also there. Ritzein cheshimach shimcha b'neihem. Do you want your name to be erased? And with that, he was able to stop himself at sort of the last moment and not commit this terrible avera. What stopped Yosef from committing the sin? What stopped him was that I'm not going to be that great tzaddik. I'm not going to be written on the Cheshen. I'm not going to be listed amongst my brothers. That's what stopped Yosef. That is a mahalak, that's an approach in Avodas Hashem. What could stop a person? I have to be perfect. There's so much that I could accomplish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu instilled, imbued tremendous kaychus into a person, and I could be a tremendous tzaddik. And that was Yosef's approach. I have to be a tzaddik. And no matter if he's out in public, no matter if he's in the chad v'chadarim, nobody sees. Yosef, the Gemara says, was kidei shem shemayim b'seiser. He was mekadosh Hashem in private. And that means because he himself knew, I can never go lower than the levels that I set for myself. Yosef HaTzadik, I always have to be a tzaddik. And this held him back from doing the Avera. Yehuda, on the other hand, he was Mezaneh with Tamar. Although from Chazal we don't see that's considered an Avera. And as Chazal explained it, he was forced into it. The Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted this to happen. The Malach came, the Marashal explains, picked him up and brought him to Tamar. So that wasn't the challenge for Yehuda. The challenge was afterwards. The challenge was that it was going to be kept secret, it was going to be kept quiet, and Tamar would have been killed because she was a Mezana. And finally he had to come out in the open and publicly admit, Tzadka Mimeni. That's where Yehuda's challenge was. But that was his avodah. His avodah was he could readily admit. He could readily admit when he's wrong, he will admit and do tshuva. The two mahalchim are explained as well. Rav Pinkus goes even further. It comes really back from Rachel and Leah. Rachel we always see as sort of the perfect one. Yifas Torah v'yifas Mareh. This was Rachel Yimeinu. That's how she's described in the Torah. And Leah we find had puffy eyes because of her crying years and years and years. She shouldn't fall to be the wife of Esav. There were two kings of Klal Yisrael. One was Shaul, who came from Rachel, a descendant of Rachel, and then was David HaMelech, who was a descendant of Leah. The Gemara tells us, Gemara in Yuma Chabez HaMebez, a famous Gemara, Shaul Ba'achas, V'David B'shtayim V'loy Olsalay. And as Shaul had one sin, and with that he lost his Malucha. David sinned twice, and still didn't lose his Malucha. Why is that? According to this understanding, is because Shaul was in the track of, I have to keep my level of Tzidkus. And as soon as he dropped it, as soon as he lost that for a moment, he slipped, he loses it. That was his mahalach. It has to be always perfect. And being perfect, that idea of always having a sense of perfection, that is the way a person will never sin. That's why a person will always serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shaul Ba'achas, one time he slipped up, he lost his malucha. He himself understood he had to lose his malucha. David Bishtayim, David was a Yehuda man. David was the mahalach of Yehuda. He could slip up and then come back. He can rebound. Like you pointed out before, that's what it has to be before the Geula. That's what has to be two Mashiachs. It has to be Mashiach ben Yosef and then Mashiach ben David. Chazal described there will be two of them. I think on a practical level, that while we're still in Gullus, and we see it very clearly, there has to be two tracks. There always was a Yosef track, there always was a Yehuda track. There's always a track of Yosef HaTzadik, I am the greatest tzaddik that could be, and I have to be that way, and there was a Yehuda track. Even David HaMelech, who was the Yehuda track, who was a descendant of Yehuda, who started and will remain Malchus Yehuda through David HaMelech, even he in Tehillim you find On the one hand, he said, "Ma enosh kisis karenu." What is man that he should be mentioned, he should be recognized? And as the idea of the humbleness, the lowliness of man, and from there understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everything, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does everything, how could I, chas v'shalom, go against HaKadosh Baruch Hu? On the other hand, David HaMelech himself said, "V'atachsereyu ma'at me'elikim." We're just short of godliness. We're also like a malach. And we could also attain tremendous perfection in this world. So in this world, we do need both tracks. And perhaps on a practical level, a person has to see himself, sort of what will channel him to do the right thing. Can he feel a sense of sort of arrogance of kedusha, gaivid the kedusha, to say, you know, I'm such a great person, I'm a yid, I'm an eved Hashem, and from there that a person will say, I can never sin because I can never stoop to a level of less than being a tzaddik. Or a person could have a sense of humility, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me so much, he does everything for me, how could I sin, how could I go against him? It's a contradiction to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I have to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Joseph's called the tzaddik, but is there something for Yehuda? Would you say Yehuda, though?
We don't have a specific name for Yehuda, no. Because Yehuda himself, that's the name himself. Yeah, the name itself is like that. Yeah. In Yosef, it was Nitesef like, hey, we stick a name into him as well. And Marsha says it really has Yud Kei Vav Kei almost, but it's not brought out as much in Yosef as it is Yehuda. Somehow we don't understand why it has to be, or I would say it's hard to understand here in Golos, how you could take these two tracks of the Lev and the Seichel, of the heart and the intellect, which the Arga Dalyo wants to say is this is all the whole idea of also Torah and Tefillah. Tefillah is the Lev, Torah is the Seichel, and it's hard to, and we need both. And it's hard to understand how the two of them, Yecheskel says, will be fused together. And they'll be one, they'll be made into one, that both will join together and will serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu both with the Lev and the Seichel in the highest possible way. And it seems that there has to be this very clear distinction, there's a clear difference between the Yosef and the Yehuda track. And this is how it's been for thousands of years. But in the end of days, the Navi tells us to know that the two eitzim, the two pieces of wood, will join together. Will happen that they will join into one. And indeed, when Mashiach ben Yosef comes, and then ultimately Mashiach ben David, so too there will be a nes. There will be a nes, and all the Klai Yisrael will be brought back to Eretz Yisrael. There will only be one king, and that will be the Malchus beis David. And then miraculously, and also the two tracks that now we have to work sort of with. Which way works better for every single person, but then it'll work together. The Lev, the Seichel will come together to both serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu biyachad.